I'm alright. You look good.
Thank you.
I think we should
start
doing videos.
He's lying to you guys.
So that all my audience can start seeing like how great my guests look.
His other guest. I'm a hot mess. As a hot mess.
You good?
I'm good. What's happening?
We're gonna have a very interesting conversation. That's what's up. And I mean, that's what we do on this show.
I feel like you're putting me under pressure.
Really? Why? I also feel like you do really well on pressure, especially for people that follow you on Twitter.
I don't know why everybody seems to think that. Maybe it's just, I don't know.
Maybe you just like...
Maybe I undermine that I can actually work well under pressure. Let's see how it goes.
Never know. So for those who do not know who Lerato Manya is, do you mind telling us about yourself?
Sure. Where do I start? I'm a troll. No, I'm joking. Okay, so I am a social media manager at Black, which is obviously Celsi's new entertainment platform. I am an editor-in-chief for MadisonJ.com. I have written for Huffington Post, USA. I've also been featured on Thought Catalog. Jeez, been on numerous TV shows, YFM, for like influencer type. At that point in time, we're calling it Twilibs. Twilibism. And yeah, like pretty much that's kind of the gist of who I am. I'm literally pole dancer. I am a wild person, pretty much.
And most of these things that you have done like resides in digital space, correct?
Yes, 100%.
Do you think women's role in digital space is?
I actually feel like women, we have the power to shape the way in which information is spread and sent out and shared. The reason I say that is because a lot of people, with the movements that they jump onto, they tend to forget that most of the founders of the movements, especially I'll give you like an example, like UOKSIS or Oscar So White. UOKSIS was actually started by Feminista Jones Online. Oscar So White was started by April Rain, who was also started from Alliance. So I think women have a power in shaping the way that conversations happen, and it's given us more freedom and more space to actually say what we really feel and to give each other support in the messages that we're trying to share.
So do you feel like women, or do you think women in the digital space are actually being celebrated enough?
I think it's a catch-22. I think we're being celebrated more than what we were before.
Okay.
So it's a developing process. It's happening, but it's happening slowly. I find women are not as celebrated as quickly as what men are. And I'll just give you like a basic example. Like, we have to almost push a movement, the Mute R. Kelly movement, for example. We have to push a movement for years before it gets any sort of like big traction or is publicized the way that it is, versus something happening. And the basic example is that the MAGA kid, he blew up in the space of 24 hours. But with a movement that is so impactful and is so serious, like Mute R. Kelly, it's taken it years to get the level of publicized kind of coverage, more so than what something like that would get. So it's growing, but it's not growing fast enough. And we're getting the leverages and the levels that we want to get to, but it's not there yet. And I think it's going to take a couple more years before we get to that point.
Do you think that's because men have a very important role to play in either helping women get the message out or actually muting them?
100%. A lot of the things that women complain about do require men to being an integral part of it, because we can't change systems by ourselves. The systems were not designed by us. Therefore, we have a say, but it's not enough of a say to change the system so that there's more of a balance. And that's what you find, and that's why you see so many women saying patriarchy will never be eradicated if men don't come to the party, because that's the reality. The rules and regulations were designed and set up by men. They've been in the system for so long by men. We as women have grown up in it, so we've reinforced it, and we have to start unlearning and unpacking. And once you start unlearning and unpacking, that comes back to, okay, we've learned and unlearned. Now we have to go back to educating men. And if men don't come to that party, it's like a standstill. So we do need men to kind of back us up and kind of you know, it's also a privilege thing, because men have a privilege that women don't have. And so for a lot of men, giving up that privilege or giving up that power is not something they're really willing to do, and they're not ready to do. Mm. Because then they kind of, it's kind of like saying, okay, well, there's food on the table. I know you don't have food. I'm going to eat it all. And then you kind of eat halfway, and then you kind of like, okay, wait, let me give you. And then you're like, no, actually, no, I don't want to give you anything. So it's literally, it's like dangling a carrot in front of a donkey, for example, and then just pulling it away. That's what it's like. And we have to get to a point where men come to the party, because if both sides don't do anything,
how do we as content creators and creatives, or just entrepreneurs, use the digital space to get across narratives like this, to get across narratives that change society and influence society in a way that it actually brings change?
Sheesh. So from my perspective, and maybe it's just something that it's just, maybe it's a personality thing. What I'm seeing a lot of on social is curated content. Everyone's got, like, there's a set style and there's a set format, and, you know, it's, I've got to put out a specific image in order for people to be able to.
It all looks the same.
It's mundane. Mm. That's what it is. It's mundane. There's no, it almost feels like there's no life. There's no creativity. There's no passion. Everybody looks the same. Everybody sounds the same. Everybody's Instagram account looks the same. Everyone's Twitter feed looks the same. Everyone's too scared to say this and say that, and you know, we're gonna passively aggressively play this game where we put out this beautiful image, but in the background it's just chaos. And that's what a lot of people do, and that works for them. I unfortunately don't fall into that personality kind of space, and the reason why I don't is because I'm very vocal and I speak about all the ups and the downs, all the bullshit and all the great shit. Like, I speak about it all because that's just the kind of person I am. So what you see on my social media pages is not too far from who I am as a person. So what I feel like is that we as content creators have to get to a point where we're more honest about who we are, and we're not filtering who we are so that it looks cool. You know, looking cool is one thing, but people are more often than not going to tie back to, what's the word? They're going to tie back to experience and something that tugged on them emotionally. I'll give you a very basic example. That Ujua Gang tweet, that tweet's been trending. We are like almost a month later and it's still trending. It's because of the stories that are coming out of that.
Authenticity.
It's authenticity. Mm. It's real. It's an emotional time. People always say, oh no, you know, you don't need to show people that you feel. You don't need to show people that you care. You don't need to, you know. But guys, we're human beings. Exactly. Emotion is the core of who we are. Mm. It's how we relate to each other. It's why things like physical touch and, you know, like communication is so important, because we need that. Mm. It's your body is having an emotional response. And emotional doesn't mean it's coming from the heart, because everything comes from your brain. Your brain is pretty much your function, your whole function for your human body. That emotional tie is in your brain. We need it. And so I like seeing the mundane content on most days, but on most days it doesn't make me feel anything. I don't get anything from it. That's why you find things like kids freaking out in front of a toy as so exciting, because it gives you an emotional response. You find things like kids running up to their dad and hugging their dad, and she's like, you know, bouncing back and forth. That's an emotional response, and people don't get that. You know, something, one of the things that I saw the other day, and it actually upset me, I think I saw it this morning, where there was a tweet by a guy, and he basically spoke about how women want to dictate how the conversation for rape should happen between men.
I think I saw a tweet that said women over exaggerate rape.
There was that one, and then there was this one, right? Mm. And you know, it's not that we're trying to own the conversation. It's that what happens and what we've seen and what we've experienced is
men
that
don't listen.
Men, no, it's not even men listen. They listen. They don't hear. Mm. They don't hear what you're actually saying. So you're listening because you want to say something. You're not listening because I'm trying to educate you. You're not listening because you're trying to be informed. You're listening because you just want to find loopholes in what I'm saying, so that you can come back and say, no, but. And it's one of those situations where it infuriates us. It infuriates us because those loopholes are what other men say, do, and how they find gaps in violating us. And that's why rape is such a big issue in this country. That's why we get so tired of saying, guys, your friends are rape apologists. Your friends, you don't even know if your friend has actually raped someone. You wouldn't know that stuff because most women are so scared to come out about that thing. And men not hearing us is extremely frustrating. You are in a society, in your whole society, black women are generally at the bottom of the food chain for everything. You have to work almost 300 times harder just to get someone to listen to what you're saying, you know. And it's something as basic as, how can you be an advocate for rape when you've never been raped? I'm a woman. I know what it's like to walk through a mall and have to keep a look, and like, you're anxious the whole time walking through the mall with earphones because you don't want to speak to a man because you don't know how he's going to respond to you. You don't want to walk to the bathroom by yourself because you don't know if someone is waiting for you inside the toilet stall where they could drag you and rape you, or they could drag you and sell you into human trafficking. You know, it's men think their concerns is like, yeah, well, we don't understand why you guys are scared. And then you start speaking about, oh yeah, but you know, this guy beat up this person and this guy got killed for interjecting, and men don't understand that men are the problem.
Would you say digital has almost increased the rate that women are abused or judged?
I think it's brought to light a lot of things that women were keeping to themselves. I think men are generally of the belief, or maybe just people in general, of the belief that this stuff wasn't happening before at such alarming rates. It was. It's just now we've got people who are able to tell their own stories in spaces that allow them to actually share these kind of stories. Before, it was, this happened to you, you go to the police station, it ends there. Now, you can go and tell someone on social and say, this is my story, or you can share your story, and it gets picked up by one account, and it becomes like this whole viral thing where you've got women sharing stories. And I'll give you an example. Casey Waves posted a tweet, I think it was like last year, and it was, he basically asked women, like, what is their worst experience with men? And when you read those stories, I mean, that was like, it was a basic question. But when you read the stories, you get to the core of the fact that a lot of women just want that space to be able to say, this happened to me. This is something I'm still dealing with. And digital has given us that space to actually be able to say, oh my gosh, I don't have to keep this inside anymore. I've got an outlet. You know, I can say it. And that's one of the things that I don't appreciate about a lot of people on social media. They're always saying, well, and someone actually tweeted this the other day. She basically said that, how can you expect people to not have an opinion on your life when you use social media as a diary? And I said, what is so wrong with being able to verbalize what you're feeling and being able to get it off your chest? What is so wrong with that? If it means that you've gotten it off your chest, you've dealt with it, okay, now you take it forward. You deal with it however, in whatever space you're in. Why do we want people to keep suffering in silence? Like, what is that innate, like, need for us to keep saying, you know what, rather keep it to yourself, rather keep quiet? It's because we've been taught that. It's because we've been taught that when something happens to you, you're immediate response should be to keep it to yourself and keep quiet, and you internalize it. And that's why we've got such a violent society. Our society is violent because a lot of people are suffering internally and they don't know what to do with the internal pain, so they start acting out like externally.
And you know what you're actually saying is so true, because just looking at the entrepreneurial landscape, you know, looking at the creative landscape, I think a lot of us are going through shit and we're internalizing it, you know, we are romanticizing what we are going through and what entrepreneurship is. And just going back to being able to share your story, because I feel like the digital space, you know, social media has actually become like a content bearer for a lot of stuff that's happening in media, you know? I mean, they've started stealing content from us now, you know?
Bro, they've been doing this since 2012. Like, I've been seeing y'all on radio taking topics from my time, man. I've been seeing it.
And how important is it for for a creator, for an influencer, you know, for a creative to be able to share their personal experience? And do you think that brands now are not looking at that anymore?
So it's quite interesting that you asked that question, because I had like a whole thread, I think maybe two and a half, 3 years ago, where I was just so frustrated by the way in which black women in rural areas or in townships are actually depicted in advertising. Now, I've been in advertising, and I've been a creative my whole life, but I've been in advertising since 2009. So we're 10 years in the game now, right? And you see the same cycle over and over and over and over again. And advertising, what a lot of people don't understand, is a manipulation game. Yeah. Advertising is manipulation. We're trying to entice you into buying into something.
Selling a perception.
Right? Yeah, we're selling a perception. And I remember because it frustrated me so much because I was just like, I have never seen this. I have never actually seen this in any of the households, black households that I've been to, as a very basic example. I've never seen my mother dance while she's doing washing. Ever. My grand, never. My aunt, never. I've never seen it.
Not even with music in the background.
Nothing. Nothing. I've never seen her get out of a taxi dancing. I've never seen that. Where did this perception come from? Where did this... Someone somewhere decided that this is how black people are. And they ran with it. And now, well, what I'm seeing more of is, as young black creators, and I'm so thankful for it, we're actually saying, actually, that's not how it is. And it's important that a lot of brands start paying attention to that, because a lot of brands don't want to get involved in the social discourse. The social discourse is where it's at. And the reason why it's where it's at is because that's where you're going to affect the most change. And it's something as basic as open up the industry. How can you as a brand or in the space that you're in help with that? How do you solve that problem? People don't think about that. And that's what a lot of brands are scared of. Nando's has done exceptionally well.
Amazing.
Nando's gets it. But Nando's, they don't take it a step further. Do you understand what I'm saying? So from a perception, it's like, okay, Nando's puts out this really great post. It gets the engagement that it's supposed to get. It's great. What now? Because then it dies down. So for us as creators, it's very important for us to actually tell our stories and to be open and honest about our stories, because what we are dealing with now is possibly going to go into the next generation. I mean, I've seen it with my brother. My brother is an incredible sound engineer. Like, that's his passion. It's literally all he's lived for. It's all he breathes. But he is not aware of the struggles that come into breaking into the kind of local and entertainment industry that we have. So these are things that kids don't pick up immediately. You learn it when you're in the industry already. So it's things like that. As a creative, it's important for you to give the reality so that the next generation or the current generation can actually have a space to say, okay, guys, this is what we're dealing with. How do we fix it? How do we as a unit fix it? Because we're not going to fix it if there's only one of us sitting at the table. And I think that's important. We have to find a way to get more of us at the table. Like, there's always that, and I'm just going to call it how I see it, there's always that one black person that seems to want to play gatekeeper, that doesn't want to eat with the rest of us. They just want to eat by themselves. And it's like, nigga,
those guys are ruled by corporate heads.
But the reality is this. Even in a corporate space, you don't have to sell your blackness. You don't have to sell your blackness. You do not have to assimilate to whiteness in order to be heard. What you need to be is true to who the hell you are. And when you're true to who you are, everybody else will get to a point where they're listening. That's the most important thing. That's why integrity is so important. People think integrity is just a game. No, it's not. Integrity is going to impact the current generation. It's going to impact the next generation. It's going to impact generations, four generations from now. So how can it not be important?
You know, you've been in the advertising space for a good 10 years now, as you said, right? What does it take for a creative to succeed in an industry that is so fast-paced?
You have to be open to change. You have to be open to change. You have to keep looking at the next thing. Like, it's so weird because when I tell people where I started out, they're just like, how did you do the crossover? I started out, I studied graphic design. I had made a decision at 17 that I'm going to be a graphic designer. This is just what it is. That's how it's going to go. 17, 19, 21, we worked at brand activation at Ogilvy. And it was quite interesting because that was such a life-changing experience for me. I did design until 2012. And in that period, I was playing around with a lot of digital and online websites. You know, it was Facebook and then came Twitter. And then, you know, it's just been one thing after that. And I was like, okay, I like this. Okay, I'm not really a fan of this, you know. And that adaptability is the reason why my portfolio looks the way that it does. It's the reason why I can say, well, I mean, I went to New York for vacation and I ended up at WBLS and I ended up at Hot 97 and I did a podcast on the Combat Jack Show. It's literally just adaptability, and it's that willingness to actually learn. I mean, I've never heard a person say, I went to New York on vacation and I ended up at like hanging out at Hot 97. Like, it doesn't happen. It's not a story. It's not something that really happens. I have never heard a person say, well, I went to New York and this person that I was speaking to on Twitter just decided to have an ice cream shop. Shout out to Combat Jack and Premium Pete. It was a weird experience. Like, I went to New York. We were at the 9/11 Memorial. Combat Jack sent me a DM on something. Hey, where you at? It's like, he's like, oh, you're like just around the corner. Come through.
Mm.
I was like, okay, cool. Went there. We hung out. He comes in. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, okay, I'm going to put you on the podcast. So first South African on his podcast, right? Then he was like, okay, what are you doing now? I was like, no, we're going to go and hang out and like do some sightseeing. He's like, and I was like, I hate the food here. Like, if there's one thing I miss about home, it's that. And he was like, oh no, let me take you to a dope spot for food. And I was like, okay, cool. We went downtown. We had food, amazing food. He did well there. I won't lie. He did really well there. And then I was like, okay, it's time to go home. He's like, no, I know you love ice cream, so let me take you to this ice cream place. He had the owner of the ice cream place at 2 o'clock in the morning come and open it.
Yeah.
You don't hear stories like that. But because people are so stuck in their rigidness and in their ways, they're not willing to transform and develop with the world. And I think that's one of the key things for me that has happened is I'm always willing to, like, try something new. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you've got to be able to be comfortable with falling. You've got to be able to deal with the hard knocks and, you know, the breaking points, and then figuring out how to bounce back from it, because that's the only way you're going to survive. If you do not develop a survival skills, you're going to stay stuck. You're going to get bored. You're going to get frustrated. And that's one of the things. I went from graphic design into social media, into writing, back into social media. You know, it's, and when I look at my portfolio now, I can literally sit in the office and say, okay, what do you guys need help with? And I can find something to do. I don't have to sit there and be bored, because I can be like, okay, let me do this design work. Oh, you need help with copy, let me write the copy. Oh, what else do you need? Do you need me to assess social media? I can do that. You know, it's, you've got to find a way to tie in all of your skills and develop and build from that.
Dope conversation. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is another episode of Finance vs. Pretenders. I'm your host, Joe Human, and we are out. We are out, right?
I think so. Yeah. Can we go get a drink now?
Definitely.